Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show. It's all about the issues of aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, here 20 years on KFBK, California's longest running and most authoritative radio show on the issues of aging. Glad to have you here. Glad to have you with us. Have some things to talk about today. A little subdued today because I've dealt with a lot of really bad issues this week, and a lot of really sad cases, and a lot of people with dementia, somebody 60 years old who had a stroke and will be in a nursing home the rest of their life. I wish sometimes I could just go through the people that I talk to every week who believe that this was never going to happen to them and that it was never possible. And then guess what? They find out it was not only possible, that it happened. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, as I said, Bob Scrivano. Again, remember a couple things. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably someone who's good. And someone who understands the issues of aging, not just the issues of estate planning. Big difference. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't have to do with anything, but I have to tell you that, otherwise somebody gets mad at me because this show might secretly be about insurance, which it's not, but I have to tell you that anyhow because there's a rule that I said that. Anyhow, what else? I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. Yes, I can do that. And yes, I'm not a paralegal. Or no, I'm not a paralegal. That's a completely different animal. I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. And everything I talk about here is intended to be my opinion only and should never be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. It's my opinion only. Again, I have to say that too, even though my opinion sometimes is very, very, very good. In fact, my opinion is usually better than most people's facts. But that's a story for another day. Anyhow, I'm glad that you're here. I have a couple things that I really want to talk about. Let me get some housekeeping stuff out of the way. How can you get a hold of me? There's a couple different ways. Write it down. You can always call me at my 800 number, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also reach me at my website. My website is assets aging.com. assetsandaging.com. If you go there, you can listen to my radio shows. They're archived, my podcast. I do a live podcast every Wednesday. You can get information. You can sign up for my free newsletter. You can send me an email and get a question asked and answered, hopefully. You can also sign up for one of my upcoming workshops, my next workshop, and it's almost full because I can only hold 15 people, and I think I have 12. My next workshop is December the 17th at my office here in Sacramento. If you want to come, you need tickets. There are no drop-ins. So my office address and all the information is on the ticket, which I will send you. You can always sign up for my workshop. Again, my next one is the 17th of November. It's my next to the last workshop of the year. And you won't want to miss it. My workshops have helped out more people than anybody else on the planet doing this. I can't tell you how many tens of millions of dollars we have saved families. I had someone the other day in a nursing home that I went to visit that's paying $19,000 a month. No, I didn't make that up. $19,000 a month. Now, a lot of you have an extra $19,000 laying around. So when I save this person what they have, it's going to be a lot. And it's going to be needed because there's a family. You know, everybody forgets about the spouse at home that's left after dad in the nursing home dies. And all the money's gone. And 40% of the income is gone because mom's going to lose income when dad dies. Nobody ever talks about the well spouse. Nobody ever talks. That's why Medi-Cal, unlike the VA, which wants you to be absolutely dead broke, I don't care what they say, to get aid and attendance. Medi-Cal has very prescribed limits and, I mean, amounts that the well spouse can keep. And under certain circumstances, those limits can be a lot more than you read on the internet. There is consideration under the Medi-Cal rules. It's called spousal impoverishment. And one of the reasons it's called that is so that the spouse at home isn't impoverished. Because when dad goes to the nursing home for 2 or 3 years, I was with someone today, folks, we just did their fourth redetermination. A redetermination is what you have to do at the end of every year when someone's been in a nursing home on Medi-Cal or anybody on Medi-Cal. I just did the fourth one. That means the person has been in the nursing home. This will be their fifth year. Everybody thinks you just go into a nursing home or assisted living or whatever it is, and you go in there for a day or two and you go home or you die. And that is simply not true. So that's what this show is about. It's about finding the best level of care. It's finding out how to... Did you know, by the way, the spousal impoverishment rules apply to in-home supportive services and the PACE program and the waiver program, which is Medi-Cal that helps pay for assisted living? How many of you knew that? Did you know that? That changed. I'll bet you didn't know that. That's a really big deal, folks. One of the things I try to do at the workshop is let people know about all the options that are available to them that they didn't know were available to them. They just didn't know. That's why I call it a workshop. I make people work. Let me talk about this thing first. This is one of my favorite things. I've told you. This is an article. Where's this an article from? I'm trying to find where this article's from. The LA Times. I don't know why this didn't print the last page. Where's my last page? Anyhow, it didn't print the last page. All I want is the headlines anyhow. Okay? So this is from the LA Times. What's the date? 10/31/18. Written by somebody named Soumya Karlamangla. I hope I didn't tear that name up too much. But it's Suma Karlamangla. And this is from October. Oh, actually, she wrote it on October the 30th. And the headline is, you know, when I read this stuff, I really just want to scream, I told you so, until you get tired of hearing me say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. If you remember during the covered California thing, we went from 7 million people on Medi-Cal to 12 to 13 million people on Medi-Cal. A lot of people got free health care overnight, literally overnight. It's cost the state a lot of money. The state is going to go in the red. I don't care what anybody says, and here's one of the reasons why. This is the headline. And I said then, you know, everybody thinks it's great that everybody's getting their health care now from Medi-Cal. And I've said for a long time, it's the largest bureaucracy in the state of California. It's bigger than education. It's bigger than all education budgets combined. It's strictly an election tool. Nobody ever looked at the unintended consequences. Well, here's one of them. I'm reading from the headline of this article in the LA Times, October 30th, by Soumya Karlamangla. And the headline is, California spent $4 billion, with a B, billion, $4 billion on Medi-Cal for people who may not have been eligible audit fines. I'm surprised it's only, let me read you the first part of the article. It's only $4 billion, folks. We don't care. As long as the voters, as long as we get votes, we don't care what your taxes are, as long as we get votes. And Medi-Cal and the expansion of Medi-Cal is all about votes. You can spin it any way you want to spin it, but it's all about votes. And it's always about the law of unintended consequence. That's why we have the highest state income tax in the United States, on top of a sales tax. Stop and think about it. What's our highest marginal tax rate? Like 20% on top of like what, an 8% sales tax? On top of federal income tax? If the tech companies in Silicon Valley ever lose value, which they're doing right now, watch what happens to the state budget. Watch. I'm predicting it now. Just watch. The state budget has been built on the taxation of millionaires and billionaires made from the tech empire in Silicon Valley. We actually have a big divide and a slowing, actually a decreasing middle class in California. California spent, I'm reading from the article, California spent four, by the rest of that is my editorializing, folks. I can't help it sometimes because I live with this stuff every day and nobody cares. California spent $4 billion on Medi-Cal coverage between 2014 and 17 during the expansion for people who may not have been eligible. I'm shocked. Medi-Cal provides health coverage to 13.1 million people. One-third of the population of California is receiving Medi-Cal. Now, you're going to hear a lot of people go, well, it's all because of all those old people, Bob, in nursing homes. There's about 70,000 people in nursing homes on Medi-Cal out of 13.1 million people on Medi-Cal. But let's just let that sink in for a minute. There's about 70,000 or so people on Medi-Cal in nursing homes as opposed to 13.1 million people on Medi-Cal in California. To qualify, a single adult must make less than $16,754 annually. No other qualifications, no asset qualifications, no nothing. They can live in an $8 million house that their mother left them, but if their income is $16,754, they get Medi-Cal under Covered California. County workers typically determine whether someone is eligible for health coverage under Medi-Cal, then send the information to the state, but the records don't always match up. The audit found 453 beneficiaries who were marked as eligible in the state system, but not in the counties, indicating that may not have actually been eligible for Medi-Cal. These beneficiaries may have died, moved, or begun making more money and no longer qualified for Medi-Cal, but they're still getting it. Yet the state's Department of Healthcare Services paid $4 billion to health plans, and for some reason my last page is missing, so I can't read you the rest of the article. But I think you get the point. When I printed out the article, for some reason, I didn't print the last page. Don't ask me why. But you can go Google it, as they say. You can go Google it, and you will find that that's what's happened. So when you wonder why the waiver program, what's the waiver program, Bob? The waiver program, that, I don't know, that sounds like semi-evil. The waiver program is a program that Medi-Cal helps pay for. There's only 3,000 beds. And it's a Medi-Cal program that helps pay for people in assisted living. As opposed to going to a nursing home, It helps pay for their care in assisted living. A couple years ago, the program went broke. It didn't have any more money. The state ran out of money for the program. Now, if you're paying out $4 billion a year to people who don't qualify for Medi-Cal, then one might understand that, mightn't one? And by the way, one of the years covered here was the year that Medi-Cal ran out of money for the waiver program. Why hasn't there been an expansion of the PACE program, which is adult daycare, which would help out tons of people and help keep people out of nursing homes on Medi-Cal? Because there's no money. Why is there no money? Because we've spent $4 billion on people that didn't qualify. But keep those federal dollars going in. If you guys really, if I took the time to really explain to you how the state gets money for Medi-Cal and the expansion of Medi-Cal, you would be aghast. You would not believe it if I told you. But there's lots of information on it if you want to go find it. So the next time somebody says, you know, those old people, they're just sucking up everything. Well, there's 70 to 75,000 people in nursing homes on Medi-Cal. There's 13.1 million people on Medi-Cal in California, and at least $4 billion with a B has gone missing. And no one is outraged. I would love to see somebody actually ask a candidate what they're going to do when they win to get the $4 billion back so that we can expand programs that really do help the homeless and the aged and the frail and the infirmed. Okay, take a deep breath, Bob. Again, I've been talking about this a long time, folks. This is not new. If you think anybody in the California State Legislature gives a you-know-what about seniors in nursing, why don't they care about seniors in nursing home? Come on, you know the answer. Come on, think. Why? Because they don't vote. Did you know every senior in a nursing home gets a ballot, gets a voting registration card, even if they're incompetent? Do you know if you're in a nursing home in California, even if you don't know what planet you live on, every year you get a voter registration card? Now, do you ever think that any of those voter registration cards get done and then somebody else votes the ballot when it comes? Do you think that's possible? I don't know if it's possible. I've never actually seen it happen. I just like to ask interesting questions. Everybody who's on Medi-Cal gets a voter registration card. When you get there, you have the absolute right. So 13.1 million people, at least once a year when they apply, and every year at redetermination, get a voter registration card in their Medi-Cal packet. Every single one. There's no checking on who it goes to. Nothing. I would like to go farther, but I dare not, because I will get in trouble. But if you really understood how it worked, you would really be aghast. Okay, let's move to another subject. Remember my workshop coming up on the 14th? I just had one. In fact, yesterday I just had a workshop. It was a small one. They're always small. I keep them small on purpose, but it was great. People learn stuff. People aren't going to be caught unaware. People aren't going to lose everything. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, you ought to come. The next one's on the 17th of the next to the last one this year, the 17th of November. The 17th of November. It's almost full. The room holds 15 people, and I have almost that now. I haven't counted recently, but it's almost full. So if you haven't been to one of my workshops, you'll want to come. I'll tell you one of the questions. When people come in, I give them a worksheet with five questions on it. And one of the questions is, tell me when you're going to die. Everybody laughs at that, but I want you to think about that question as the rest of this show goes on. If you knew the day you were going to die, you could do everything the day before. And people say all the time, well, Bob, I'm just going to wait and think about this. Well, yeah, well, I'm not going to, you know, it's only going to, I want to think about it for a week, a month, whatever it is. I had some people call me, come in and see me the other day, a family with the kids. They have nothing, no trust, no powers of attorney, no nothing. We talked for a little bit. They left and said, oh, we want to think about it. I haven't heard from them since. It's been 2 weeks. They're still thinking about it. In the meantime, they believe no one's going to die, and someone in the family has already had cancer. It's the hardest thing in the world, getting people to understand that they don't know the day they're going to die. That's the issue. They don't know the day they're going to need care. That's the issue. Okay, so let me read you something again. And then I got one more article in the second half hour about one of my favorite subjects on the planet, which is caregivers. And I may continue this one over. This is from Ann Norrich in the Washington Post, Friday, October the 26th. And it's entitled, We're Not Prepared for the Coming Dementia Crisis. Ms. Norrich is a director of adult gerontology and the nursing practitioner program and an assistant professor of nursing at York College in Pennsylvania. And again, this was in the Washington Post, Friday, October 26, 2018. You can Google it, Ann Norrich, N-O-R-W-I-C-H. It could be Norwich, but I'm assuming she pronounces it the New England way, which is Norwich, like the terrier. For those of you that have seen Best in Show, you'll understand about why God loves a terrier. We're not prepared for the coming dementia crisis. I want to read you something, and then we'll continue this in the second half hour. Many of us played the lottery this week. How many of you played the lottery when it's $1.6 billion? In hopes of becoming an instant billionaire, the chance of winning was less than 1 in 300 million. Yet we all believed we could be the one. We like to believe that good things will come our way and to ignore and tend to ignore real threats to our health as we age, even though the chances they will happen are high. Retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor recently disclosed that she has now been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. At 65, she had a 1 in 10 chance of developing dementia. At 85, her odds increased to 1 in 3. Now we acknowledge with great sadness that the 88-year-old's keen mind will fade away and that she too will succumb to the disease just as her husband did. If I told you that you had a 1 in 3 chance of dying tomorrow, would I have your attention? If you're 85 years old, you have a 1 in 3 chance of developing Alzheimer's, and Alzheimer's is one of only about 10 forms of dementia. Yet we put more stock in our chances to win the lottery. We ignore the families are too many to number. They're greater than the stars in heaven who have come into my office. I had somebody in my office today that I know has dementia problem. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a psychologist. But I've been doing this for a long time. And after 30 years, you come to recognize certain signs. And I had somebody in my office today that's probably in the early stages of dementia, and everybody is in denial about it. The hardest thing is to convince families. Sandra Day O'Connor has dementia. She's going to die of Alzheimer's. Her husband died of Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a terminal disease. If you're 85 or older, you have a 1 in 3 chance of having Alzheimer's before you die. If you're 65, you still have a 1 in 10 chance. A 1 in 10 chance of developing Alzheimer's at 65. I don't know what it is at 75, 1 out of 6 or 7. And yet, we ignore it. We ignore it at our peril. We don't pay any attention to it. We believe it won't happen to us. It's like putting cookies in the oven, and they're only supposed to bake for 8 minutes, and when 9 minutes rolls around, you say, well, I've got a little bit more time. And when you take them out at 12 minutes, it's not good. You have a decision to make. You can come and see me, or you can just let the clock run and hope that you hit the jackpot and are not one in the three who at 85 are going to have dementia and Alzheimer's. I want to finish reading some more from this article. I'll be back right after the break. Give me a call. Go to my website. Get to my workshop or get into my office. My workshop's on the 17th. You can call. You can sign up on my website, assetsandaging.com. Don't go away. We'll be back after a short break with more information and direction right here at Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Bob Scrivano, your host. We're talking about dementia, Alzheimer's. I'm reading from an article in the Washington Post. Welcome back. Remember, how can you get a hold of me? My website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. Or you can call me at 800-999-8007. Get into my next workshop, next to the last one this year on the 17th of November. Yeah, I know. Thanksgiving's coming. Christmas is coming. So's dementia coming. So's frailty coming. So's old age coming. And they're going to keep coming like a freight train. So if this is of concern to you, if senior issues are of concern to you, give me a call. Get to the workshop on the 17th. Only 15 seats available. Get in to see me. My consultation is free. Sign up for my newsletter. You can get my book. You can call me or email me, and I'll tell you how to get my book, Navigating Frailty, which is also available at my workshops. Okay, so we're talking about dementia. And we're talking about, this is written by Ann Norich of the Washington Post. It was in the Washington Post on October 26th of this year. And it's called, We're Not Prepared for the Coming Dementia Crisis. And she talked about how Sandra Day O'Connor now has Alzheimer's, and she's going to die from Alzheimer's just like her husband before her, because Alzheimer's is a terminal disease. You will die from Alzheimer's unless something else kills you first. I'm reading again from the article. How does this affect those of us who are reaching the magical Medicare age of 65? Let me give you a statistic. Someone said a long time ago there are lies, darned lies, I cleaned that up a little bit, and statistics. Well, here's a statistic for you. Are you ready for this statistic? I'm not making this statistic up. You guys think this is, you got it under control and this is all going to be okay. In the United States, every day, 10,000 people turn 65. This is Medicare open enrollment. Why is it on every TV program you watch, there's a Medicare supplement for sale? Because this month, 300,000 people turned 65. During the open enrollment period, 1 million people are going to turn 65. That's why. 10,000 people a day turn 65 in the United States. This is a tidal wave of enormous proportions. And nobody is paying attention to it. And I mean nobody. There's not a politician anywhere talking about what this is going to do to Medicare and to caregivers. We're going to talk about caregivers in a minute and space and all kinds of things. 10,000 a day turn 65. Should we pretend, I'm reading again from the article, should we pretend that dementia can't happen to us and hope we beat the odds? Knowing our risk for developing a disease gives us the opportunity to plan for our future and to advocate for programs that will enhance services. Traditional Medicare is designed, I'm reading from the article, is designed to provide medical coverage for participants who are seeking treatment for various diseases. If you develop pneumonia and are admitted to the hospital, everything is covered. If you need rehabilitation, the first 20 days are generally covered, with maybe up to an additional 80. Once you're not improving, you're discharged home or become a resident of a nursing home. Now, but what if you don't have what if you have dementia? You don't go to a hospital. If you have Alzheimer's, you don't go to a hospital. You have dementia, you don't go to a hospital. And remember, there's 8 to 10 different kinds of dementia, depending on what list you look at. I have a friend who's having cancer therapy, and he is going to have chemotherapy as part of his cancer therapy, and it will develop irreversible dementia. To what degree, nobody knows yet, but it will develop irreversible dementia, and it's chemotherapy. It's called chemo brain. Fast forward to the 1 in 10 people older than 65, I'm reading from the article again, with Alzheimer's disease or one of many other dementia syndromes. They have a progressive, irreversible, non-curable disease that will continue to worsen despite the best medical care. As they decline, their debility increases and they require an ever-increasing amount of supervision and physical assistance. As Dr. Atul Gawande says in his bestseller, Being Mortal, as we get older, as sure as the sun will set tomorrow, we will all lose independence and become dependent on someone else. But we refuse as families to admit it. We don't talk about it. We'd rather talk about something else. I don't know. Laxatives, vitamins, skin cream, how to make wrinkles go away. Do you know how much we spend? I don't know what the answer to this is. Do you know how much we? Well, I'll give you the answer one, but in a minute. Do you know how much do we spend on wrinkle cream every year, or to make those little bags under our eyes go away? How much money do you spend every year planning for your care? We spent $9 billion on Halloween. We spend $750 billion on Christmas. How much money have you spent planning for your care? How much time have you been willing to take to go to a workshop or come and see me or read my book or do something in which you're planning for your care? Well, Bob, we did estate planning, we got a will, we got a trust, and when we die, it all goes to the kids. That's not planning for care, that's planning for death. Completely different subject. They are not connected. Other than usually at the end of long-term care, death occurs. Planning for death is simple. It's a roadmap. There's a roadmap for planning for death. Planning for my care is not related to planning for my estate. They are two entirely different subjects. Well, I've got a will, so what? That has to do with what happens when you're dead. In my world, nobody's dead. Let me continue reading from the article. And again, this is from Ann Norich in the Washington Post, October 26th. And it's called, We're Not Prepared for the Coming Dementia Crisis. Today, and if I have time, I'll be talking about this in a minute. Today, the crisis in healthcare is how to care for an estimated 5.7 million Americans with Alzheimer's. Notice she just said Alzheimer's, not dementia. Just Alzheimer's. Unpaid family members already frequently provide a total of 18 billion hours of care each year. The crisis for tomorrow is how to take care of the projected, are you sitting down? 14 million Americans older than 65 who will develop the disease by 2050. My sons are 37 years old. 2050 is 32 years away, if I did my math right. They're 37. In 32 years, they will be 69. They will be in the middle of this. Your children are going to be in the middle of this. I'm 73. Those of you my age or older, we won't be around in 2050. At least not likely. but a lot of your children are going to be, and your grandchildren are certainly going to be. By 2050, there will be 14 million people older than 65 with Alzheimer's. Not dementia, not heart disease, not cancer, not stroke, not a bad hair day, but Alzheimer's disease. Not even dementia, just Alzheimer's. Now, here's an understatement, and this is the most brilliant thing in this article. This should be stamped on your brain. Our healthcare system is grossly unprepared to provide Medicare for this cohort of patients. We're not even close. Obamacare, long care, healthcare, covered California, the Affordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it, did not address in any way Medi-Cal. The state of California have not addressed in any way, shape, or form this coming cohort of older people that are going to engulf and overwhelm the safety net. Write it down. I said it here. It's going to be a tidal wave. And our healthcare system is... Have any of you been in an emergency room lately? How much fun is that? Let me ask you a question. Would you rather saw off your own foot or go to an emergency room? Well, Bob, that you get it. It's hyperbole. I get it. But how many of you have been in an emergency room lately? How efficient is it? Unless you're in the middle of a heart attack, you're lucky if you see anybody in the first hour, sometimes too. And that's today. We're not building any new hospitals. We're not expanding existing hospitals to take care of what's coming. When you have 10,000 people a day becoming 65 or older in the United States, that we're in no way prepared for that. And my age, how many of your doctors out there are 65 or over? A lot of people aren't going into medicine anymore. Why? Because what you can make is controlled because of the health insurance companies and because of the Affordable Care Act and all that, the paperwork hassles and all that kind of stuff. A lot of private practice physicians are not doing that anymore. They've gone to work for hospital chains or big chains somewhere. If you don't believe that's happening, you're not paying attention. So what happens when my age doctors are all retired 10 years from now? Who's going to be taking care of this cohort of people? Who's going to be taking care of their long-term care needs? Are your children prepared for this? Are your grandchildren prepared for this? I want to read it again, what she wrote. Again, this is an article by Ann Norwich in the Washington Post. Our healthcare system is grossly unprepared to provide medical care for this cohort of patients. We spend billions of dollars cycling such patients, dementia patients, in and out of hospitals and rehab facilities, only to have them return every few months for yet another round of the same. It's what we know how to do instead of tailoring care specifically for patients with dementia. And many have expressed the desire for something different. Okay, I mean, I've been preaching this for a long time. It's estimated that an early diagnosis of dementia could save $7.9 trillion in medical costs over multiple years. That's not true, though, completely. I'm going to disagree with her here. It would do it if we had an alternative. If we had an early diagnosis of dementia today, what would we do about it? What programs are there in place to deal? Is the waiver program, is the PACE program, is IHSS, are all these in situ programs that allow me to stay at home or in the softest level of care? Where are they all? Where are all these programs that are going to... You're on your own, folks. If you think the government is prepared to take care of this, you're on your own. And if you think you're exempt, Glenn Campbell, Rosa Parks, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, all had Alzheimer's. Lots of famous people have had Alzheimer's or dementia. You just don't know about it. It's everywhere. And it's going to get worse, and we're not prepared for it. And I'll guarantee you, as a country, we're not prepared for it. And you're not prepared for it. So what do? Well, start preparing. Get your kids ready. You get yourself ready. Get in to see me. And get to one of my workshops. I want to take the last few minutes that we have here. We've got about 10 minutes or so. And I want to talk about another article. I had three things to talk to you about today, and this is the third. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It's the only newspaper in America that regularly has articles on long-term care. You know, the only articles you see in the local newspaper are when a nursing home goes under, or somebody's abused in a nursing home, or somebody gets sued in a nursing home, but you don't really read about long-term care. Only the Wall Street Journal does that. And I don't have any stock in the Wall Street Journal. I pay for two subscriptions to it, print and digital, but it's the only one. Okay, caregivers do double duty to make ends meet. Another issue that, as we have a growing population of people who need care, conversely, we have a shrinking population of people who are willing to work and provide care for that cohort of older people because they can't make ends meet. After working, I'm reading from the article by, who's this by? I forgot. Who's this by? By Claire Ansbury, or Ansbury, A-N-S-B-E-R-R-Y, Wall Street Journal, October 27th. After working more than three decades as a home health aide, Yolanda Allen brings home $32.5 a year, including overtime, which is why she also cleans houses on weekends. I need to hustle my job on the side, said Mrs. Allen, 51 years old, blah, 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 blah. Most have been older. Well, she takes care of a lot of broken hips and dementia and people with heart disease, et cetera. And she's been doing this for a long time. She works for a care agency. Not going to name the one, and the one doesn't matter. But here's one of the dirty little secrets that most people don't understand. Most people who are home health care aides, who are working for an agency, are getting paid $12 to $15 an hour. The agency is charging $30 an hour, but that person in the house is making minimum wage. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the generation of people who are willing to work for that wage are dying out, and what they're finding out or wearing out because they're getting older is that a lot of these people now have to keep two and three jobs to make ends meet. Also, somebody's working as a caregiver for you 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's only 20 hours. The other 20 hours, they're unemployed because the agency doesn't have anybody for them to take care of. Don't get me wrong on what I'm talking about with this article, but we are going to run short of caregivers. Remember, a lot of people, the majority of caregiving is unpaid caregivers, family members. And what's happening to them as our population? Fewer people are having children. The people who are going to turn 60 and 70 in the 2050, when this hits a peak, are not having as many children as people had after the war. There are going to be fewer people, children, available to take care of a growing cohort of people who are going to become older and more infirm. One of the things I learned a long time ago in my education, and with a wife who's a scientist, is there's always this thing called the law of unintended consequence. One of the biggest problems that they're having in countries like Japan and Australia and other countries is a shrinking birth rate. And the reason why is you have fewer taxpayers taking care of more older people, but you also have fewer caregivers for an aging population. So who's going to take care of and who's going to pay for people as they get older who don't have children? Those of you who are listening to me who don't have children, even if you're married, you understand the problem. You have special needs. Why you're not in talking to me tomorrow, I will never understand. You have special needs. I'm taking care of someone right now. Well, I'm not taking care of them, but I know who, you know, has never been married, no children, has a physical disability. Who's there to take care of them? We have a shrinking population of caregivers, not only the kind that get paid. Talk to nursing homes. Talk to caregiving agencies who are having a harder and harder and harder time finding people willing to do this for $12, $15 an hour. This is not like working at McDonald's, folks. McDonald's is a cakewalk. McDonald's is like working at the Waldorf Astoria compared to taking care of someone at home who's cranky, whose bladder and bowels don't work, who can't remember where the bathroom is, who can't or yelling at you every 15 minutes to change the channel on TV, who wander out the door every now and then to make it interesting, who never get out of the chair, who need to, I can go on and on and on. So would you rather work at McDonald's for $15 an hour or be a caregiver taking care of somebody who has icky needs for $15 an hour? There's always the law of unintended consequence, and that's one of them. There are more places to pick for people who are making minimum wage other than being a caregiver, because now they can make $14, $15 an hour doing other things that don't have icky stuff involved. The law of unintended consequence has been working hard in all the things I've talked about today. From caregivers to rising dementia costs without a healthcare system that's prepared to deal with it, with lacking a declining number of caregivers, having fewer children, which means there's fewer normal caregivers of life. A lot of people now, a lot of younger people in their 30s are going without children. And down the road, I hope they have saved well, because there's not going to be anybody to take care of them. They're going to be on their own. For those of you that are in your 50s and 60s now, while you're still healthy and you have no children and have no plan to, why in the world are you not at my workshop and not in my office? Because you're going to have a special set of problems to deal with as you get older. And oh, by the way, nobody cares. Politicians have made it really plain who they care about. And fixing this system is not high. It's not anywhere on their agenda. They give it lip service. They talk about, you know, prescription drug costs. That prescription drug cost issues are a nothing burger compared to the cost of long-term care that's coming to a cohort that's going to have 17 million people with dementia by 2050. Prescription costs are going to be but what's everybody talking about? Oh, the cost of prescriptions. You know, it's gone to, don't get me wrong, it's an issue. It pales in front of 10,000 people turning 65 every day in the United States, and a lot of them without the resources or the family members to provide care when they become old and frail. So what are you doing about it? I've talked in generalities today. What are you doing about it? What are you doing to make sure that when you need care, when you need care, that that care is available to you. And you've got a plan for how it's going to happen. 800-999-8007. Get to my workshop on the 17th. Get to my office. The appointment is free. Bring the kids. Bring the family. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. 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 Scroll down, and there'll be a sign-up page there for my workshop or for an appointment or to send me an email letter or to do whatever it is you need to do. But get help, get a plan, get prepared today. Navigating Frailty is not only the title of my book, it's what you're going to do as you get older. You are going to have to navigate a world in which there is more and more, you are more and more and more a frail individual. 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or we'll see at the workshop on the 17th. You can sign up by calling me, 800-999-8007, or going to my website, assetsandaging.com, and signing up. Thank you so much for listening to this program for 20 years. Thank you for being faithful. Now it's time to move beyond listening and begin to act in your family so you too can plan on protecting a lifetime's work. Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a great day.